So I'm really excited about today's episode because I sat down with Shannon McClay, who's the CEO of the Financial Gym, and we talked all about financial anxiety, myths around whether or not we can save for houses, how to start getting your financial health in order, and a number of different things related to finances. She has been instrumental in my financial education and debt process. So it was very important for me to have her on, and I'm just excited for you all to learn from her. She's got a lot of great information in this episode. But before we get into that, this podcast is brought to you by my mini course. I was like, what do I call it? The 5 Days to Face Your Finances. So obviously, I've been talking a lot about my debt journey and the fact that a huge reason why I got into debt was because I was actively avoiding my finances and avoiding looking at my bank accounts, avoiding trying to figure out, how much I was spending and how much I was making and balancing my books. And yes, that is a matter of just sitting down and looking at your bank accounts, but it's so much more than that. It's about regulating your nervous system, removing the shame, and really taking inventory of the beliefs and the mindsets that you have around money. So, the 5 Days to Face Your Finances walks you through the steps that I took to really get a handle on my finances, but it also walks you through nervous system regulation and mindset work because most of the resources that I have seen for people to get their finances under control do not have this portion of it. They don't address the shame and the anxiety and the fear. That's not to say all don't, but a lot don't. It's just very cut and dry. Here's what you got to do. So I wanted to help all the people who are just feeling a little bit out of control with their money, whether you have debt or not. I know people who have taken the course who are making plenty of money, but they spend very subconsciously and don't realize where their money is going. And so this was the step that they took to get a handle on it and to really understand how to make a budget that is aligned with your values and aligned with the lifestyle that you want to live. So the 5 Days to Face Your Finances, you can go to whitneycatalano.com/5 days. It's whitneycatalano.com/5 days. I highly recommend it. It is seriously one of the best courses that I've ever made just because it is so personal to me. And I know it will help you if you are dealing with a lot of money anxiety and money avoidance. If you want more help, you want to go deeper into accomplishing your money goals and getting a handle on your finances, you can also check out the Financial Gym, who Shannon, that's her company. I have a referral code, Whitney15, so you get 15% off if you go through the Financial Gym. So you can book a call with them and just mention my code, Whitney15, and you will get 15% off. All right, let's get into it.
We get stuck working a 9 to 5. Just 'cause you're breathing don't mean you're alive. Do what you love. Time is slipping away. And you could do anything, 'cause it's all made up anyway.
So today we're talking to Shannon McClay, who is the CEO of the Financial Gym. I've talked about the Financial Gym previously on Instagram and on my podcast, and the Financial Gym has been hugely helpful in my debt journey. And so I'm really excited to talk to you and get into how we came to know each other and how you've helped me, but also how you help other people and just like what the Financial Gym is all about. And also, quick plug before we get into it, my referral code is in the show notes.
Yes,
So
don't
everyone
forget
go
the
use
referral
it.
code. Never
I
pay full
know.
price.
Never. Hey Shannon, how are you?
Hello, I'm fantastic. So excited to be here today.
I know, excited to talk to you. And for those of you who don't know, I did a episode on Shannon's podcast as well. So this is coming out after I revealed to the world that I went through bankruptcy, which I have not actually put out that episode yet because I'm nervous. But I think our episode is already up, right?
It's out there. Yeah. It's out there in
Yeah.
my community. So you haven't, shared it in your community, but
Yeah.
something that I'm sure we'll talk about and want to talk about is why it shouldn't be a big deal, why you shouldn't
It's not.
be scared or afraid to say anything, or share your financial details, because they don't define us. They're just numbers. And we give them a lot of power for a lot of reasons, but
Yes.
we need to take back our power from our financial digits, because I
Absolutely.
people have give too much weight to them.
Absolutely. Before we get into that part, tell me a little bit about how the Financial Gym came to be, because it is fantastic. Like, it's a fantastic idea and resource for people.
Yeah, thank you. It feels so long ago now, but it was 9 years ago that, or actually, and I'll be quick about this. I'm not taking my backstory back too far, but just a little bit of how I got here is that I turned 30 now 14 years ago. So it's been a while, but going into my 30s, I had a lot of friends who were nervous about turning 30 because it's a transitional year and they weren't maybe married or didn't have children or a good job or, you know, things that you would feel like maybe you needed to feel like, oh, I accomplished in my 20s. And I remember telling my then husband, now ex-husband, spoiler alert, that 30 was going to be super easy for me because we were married and I had a kid and this great house and this great job. And I checked all the boxes and I was like, so 30 is going to be super easy. And I threw this fabulous 30th birthday party, like a whole weekend getaway for my friends. And it was so much fun. It was the best time. And then 6 months later, I end up feeling extremely depressed, end up getting life coached through the process and just had this realization that I didn't want to be married, didn't want to be a mom, didn't want to have the job I had. And really felt like I signed up for somebody else's life. You know, it was like, I did all the things because I'm such a type A overachiever. So I did all the things. And then it was like, I didn't want any of it. And so in the process of my life coaching and exercises, it, you know, one of the first things he asked me was, what's your purpose in life? And I used to always say up until this point, I'm not changing the world. I'm just making money, because I had an investment banking job and I was worked for hedge funds and I was working for a hedge fund at the time. And I just thought, I'm not changing the world. I'm just making money. And I used to say that and embrace it. And then when he asked me my purpose, I didn't feel like saying that, you know, because again, I just had this shift, which for people who are into human design, it's actually very aligned with my human design. I'm a 4-6. And so
I was going to ask if you're a 6 line,
the 6 role model line.
Yep.
30 is your transition year. So literally 30 and a half, I was like, boop, brakes on, you know, what am I doing? And so one of the books I read in my life coaching process was this book about happiness that was written by a Buddhist monk. And it was really speaking to me, and it was, you know, a bunch of things in the book, but ultimately what he got to in the book was saying that the ultimate way to find long-term sustainable happiness is to help other people and not expect anything in return. So even like opening the door for somebody and not expecting a thank you, like that's how we find happiness. And it totally resonated with me. I was like, that's what I want. That was speaking to my soul. And so then I did, you know, was working different processes, kind of working toward that. I ended up going back to work for Bank of America, Merrill Lynch, with this newfound thing of like, I think this is leading me to the place I'm supposed to be. And then in that job, I ended up working with Merrill Lynch financial advisors. And in the process of working with the advisors, I tell people I became woke to the advisory space. And, you know, 85% are men. And I always say there's nothing wrong with that. I married a man. I birthed a man. You know, I love men. But I was like, it just felt unfair, because I was like, if somebody wanted something different, a different looking person, it was really hard to find. And so I thought, if you can't beat them, join them. And I said to myself, I'm going to help more women become financial advisors. That's where I'm feeling compelled to do. And if I can do that from there. So then I became a Merrill Lynch financial advisor, and with this intention of, you know, shifting the look and feel of advisory. But then I become an advisor and realize the problem isn't necessarily inclusivity in advisory, which there is an issue there, but it's in inclusivity of clients in advisory. So at Merrill Lynch, to work with me as a financial advisor, you had to have $250,000 in assets. You literally didn't count as a household, they called them, unless you had $250,000 in assets. And I laugh all the time thinking about this, because the financial gym would never exist if I took the advice of my Merrill Lynch mentor, who told me in the early days, pre-screen all your calls, Shannon, make sure they have money before you even meet with them, because they won't count. And I remember just, you know, smiling and nodding and knowing I wasn't going to take his advice. And I just remember thinking to myself, I can't even imagine asking somebody what's in their bank account before we have coffee. That just doesn't feel right to me. Yeah. So I ignored his advice and I went with the approach of I'm going to take every meeting because I'm just going to take every meeting. So I said yes to any person who said they wanted to talk to a financial planner, or, you know, through friends and family. And one of the first meetings I had was with this woman who was referred to me through a friend, and she's a lawyer and, you know, wanted a financial planner. And so in our meeting, it was almost like a movie. She said, I have 250,000. So I'm perking up in the movie scene. And she's like, a student loan debt. And I was like, wah, wah, wah. You know, I didn't, in my mind, I was like, well, forget this opportunity. But I was like listening to her. And she said, I have $250,000 of student loan debt. I make $50,000 a year as an attorney, not the six-figure job that my expensive law school told me I was going to have. And she was like, what really struck me the most was she said, and I just feel unlovable. Like, who would want to marry me with all this debt? Yeah. And I was like, it was a lot to unpack in this meeting. And I didn't have the tools for her at Merrill, but I wanted to help her. So that began my process of what I always say is becoming the worst financial advisor ever, because I loved my pro bono clients. And that's what I called them. So like people like this woman, I just loved working with them. And so I started doing it on the side, you know, like, because I said yes to every meeting. So some meetings could be a Merrill opportunity and some were, oh, okay, let me just help them do this plan. And so I was doing these plans on the side and I was doing that for a little while and then had my ultimate Oprah aha week of my life. And the week started with a couple that had their quarterly review, like a Merrill couple, and they had over $1 million with me. They were both, you know, making six figures and doing fine. Their portfolio is down 3% because the markets were down. And for the whole meeting, they were just kind of complaining about where their money was and, you know, how are the kids going to go to college and all these things that, you know, were stressing them out. And I spent an hour of my life making them feel better about it being a little less rich. And it was just really soul sucking. You know, I was like, I guess this is my job, you know, like, I guess this is what a financial advisor does, right? Like talks people down from a tree that I didn't feel was very high in the air, you know, because I'd been seeing all these other stories and hearing them. And so I just had less empathy for this couple, you know, after that journey I'd been on. And then 2 days later, I did a plan for a woman, a pro bono client, very similar to our plans today at the gym. And Whitney, you've received one, but here's how much you need to save. Here's how you deal with the credit cards. Here's what you do with student loans, just bulleted, you know, for her in a Word document. And at the end of it, she said, you know, you're saving my life, right? And I was like, this feels so much better than that. And, you know, and she, and I was like, and it just like everything sparked me. I was like, I have to create a business for people like this, which is the majority of Americans. And because every, you know, Merrill Lynch, every investment company wants to deal with the people with, you know, 250,000 or more. Nobody wants to deal with the people who are trying to figure out how to build it, or they're trying to manage debt or do both or whatever. And I just remember thinking I was on a path of getting more physically healthy. And I remember thinking around the same time that there's so many places people could go if they want to get physically healthy, that just it's easy to find. But if people want to get financially healthy, where would they go? Where would I send these pro bono clients to that's going to take care of them and make them feel like their worth is not dictated by their bank account? And I thought, if you wanted to get financially healthy, you go to a financial gym. So it just all came to me very clear, like literally all at once. And it wasn't all at once because I've been on that journey and I laughed. So this is now 9 years later, left Merrill, started to build it. We've worked with clients in all 50 states. We've grown the business and scaled and all these things. And I keep thinking about the journey because it's every founder journey is a very challenging one and mine is no different. But at some point in the middle of the last 9 years, I just remember thinking, I asked for this. Mm-hmm. I literally because I read that book, because I went on this journey. And the funny side note is I have helped women become financial advisors. They've just become financial trainers under me at the financial gym. 72% of our employees at the gym are women. And so the complete opposite of what's happening at Merrill Lynch, and certainly a lot more of other diversity that we have versus other banking institutions. But I was like, oh, I did accomplish that goal too. It just did it here instead of at Merrill.
Yeah. That is such a good story. And I definitely really resonate with the turning 30 and realizing like, oh, this is maybe not what I want, or I'm living for someone else. Cause that's kind of the whole premise of this podcast. It's all made up anyway, like realizing the ways in which we are living someone else's dream and don't know it. And then you get to this place and you're like, oh my God, I'm so unhappy in all of these areas. What do I do? And I think a lot of people too, like their financial reckoning is part of that. I know it was for me. Of figuring out like, what do I want? And then what are the things that I've been avoiding? Well, the thing that I've been avoiding is my bank account and my debt. So I have to start there as well as the internal work. So you're offering that place. I also love too about how I have friends now who go to the financial gym who are members, and they talk about, they rave about the trainers there and how emotionally available everyone is and emotionally supportive, because money is not typically a safe space to talk about your feelings.
Yes. So we originally had brick and mortar locations, which had to close because of the pandemic, but there's still, we're still actually working on a way that they're coming back in 2023. But we had our original brick and mortar location was on Fifth Avenue in New York. And or right across the street from the Museum of Sex. And you could literally see the Museum of Sex from our window. And we used to joke that they have dildos in the window and we're the taboo kids on the block because, you know, we're talking about money. We're talking about credit scores and bank accounts and debt. And we always say money's the ultimate taboo topic. We're more comfortable getting physically naked with somebody than financially naked. And there's a lot of reasons that, you know, we can get into. We obviously at the gym know all of them. We train our team on all of these, but the, one of the biggest lessons I've learned in the last 9 years is just how emotional money is. And, you know, we've seen different data points, but it's something like 97% of people experience financial anxiety and it doesn't matter what the digits look like. We talk about how when we had locations open, we used to joke that our workout equipment was wine and Kleenex because we went through a lot of wine and a lot of tears. And sometimes it was happy tears for people just happy they achieved a goal, or like, or sad tears because they, you know, had to deal with the credit card debt, or, you know, the effects of a divorce or a breakup, which have financial implications, especially if you're living with your partner. So we see so much of that. And it's just mind boggling to us that it's still such a taboo topic. And so we understand. So, you know, part of our training program for our trainers is helping them understand and realize that if they don't already, but understanding that when somebody's telling you their financial information, it is the equivalent of them getting fully naked in front of you. We call your first session your financially naked session. So we understand that it's like you completely getting naked in front of us and we're fully dressed. And so how do we make you feel comfortable? And by the way, you're fully financially naked and you're beautiful and special and worthy and all the things, because again, they're just numbers and they don't define us, and help you see that and realize it. And then how do we help you embrace, you know, where you want to go? And we always say, we don't care how you got here. We just care about where you want to go. And so, you know, we're helping to try to break whatever the barriers are for getting somebody to the first session. And then how do we support them and, you know, carry them through that journey? I've been on the journey now with people for over 9 years. So we have a lot of data points, and I have trainers who've been with me 5 years plus. And we know how to start a journey. We know how to stay on a journey with our clients.
Yeah. It's interesting. When you're saying that, I'm thinking back to like my first call with you, the financially naked session. And I had been slowly telling people and asking for help. And I asked my mom's, accountant, I don't know who he is,
He's a financial advisor.
Is that what Greg does? Okay. And so then he told me about Financial Gym because I had never heard of it, put me in touch with you, whatever. And so I had slowly been easing myself into comfort with it, telling my mom was absolutely the first Band-Aid that I had to rip off of, like, mm-hmm. I don't want her to judge me and I don't want her to like get mad at me or anything like that. But sitting on the call with you, I was freaking out. I was like, oh my God. Cause I felt like I had nothing because I had so much debt. It was really affecting the way that I showed up in my business to sell, to have ideas, anything. Cause it puts you in like a constant state of fight or flight. Mm-hmm. And so coming to you with all of that and you're like the CEO. And I was like, oh my God, I really need this help, but I was freaking out. I just was like absolutely so nervous. And you made me feel so good.
Yeah.
You were just like, oh, it's no big deal. You're going to be fine.
And we say it's no big deal and we're not saying it flippantly. You know, we're saying it because we have the data points to back it up. You know, the biggest thing that we hate is seeing how much energy people give their financial situation, because it does create this anxiety. It does create the two words we hear all the time at the gym are fear and shame.
Yeah.
You know, I'm afraid that I can't pay my bills. I'm afraid that I'm not saving enough, or I'm ashamed that I have credit card debt, or I'm ashamed that I'm not saving enough, or whatever the storyline is. And those are two highly charged emotions, right? Mm-hmm. And it's emotions people tie to their money, and money, we all have to deal with it. Like it's a common denominator. We all have to have a relationship with money, whether we want to or not. And so thinking about our relationship with money being so intertwined with words like fear or shame is just, it's not a healthy place to be, to have a healthy relationship with money, but also it just tells you the power that people are giving the financial situation. And we see it all the time that clients are coming in their first session, their shoulders are up by their ears and they're just, you know, you could tell they're like embarrassed what they're about to share. And maybe they've never shared with this with anyone in their life. And now they're telling us, and it's like, first of all, we feel so privileged that people trust us that much to tell us, because we understand that they haven't. So first of all, we understand it's a privilege. B, we also see it as such a huge strength of somebody coming to that session, because we know it's worse than the dentist, right? Because you don't have to tell the dentist what's in your bank account. So we understand that, and it's so brave. Our clients on that first session, we see their bravery, we see their fear, and then we give them the plan, and then you start to work through the plan and you start taking the steps forward and moving out. And then we just love, there's nothing greater in our job than to watch the change of a client from the shoulders by the ears to the, hey, guess what happened to me today? You know, or my credit score went up 40 points and we're like, yes, like this is huge. Yeah. Or just, you know, even saying how, you know, I'm excited about my future for the first time in a long time. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the sort of stuff that gets us out of bed every day.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember Greg said that to me too. He was like, after I decided to file for bankruptcy and I was going through the process, which I also want to kind of touch on, cause that was such a fateful moment, but I talked to him on the phone after and kind of told him, oh yeah, I met with you. You recommended bankruptcy. I'm feeling really good about it. He was like, you sound better. And he was like, you sound like you have life back in your voice again. Because when I first talked to you, you were extremely timid, extremely scared, extremely like, seemed really depressed and not well. And now you seem like really like you have a weight off your shoulders. I was like, that's how I feel.
Yeah.
Is that I have a weight off my shoulders. And I remember when you told me that I should file for bankruptcy, like that was probably the best course of action. I already kind of knew that that's what I was going to do, because I had been following Jay on TikTok. And then you recommended him and I was like,
this is it. Ding, ding, ding.
This is what I'm doing. Yeah. I'm also going to try to get him on the podcast, because I would love to talk more in depth about bankruptcy. Yes. But with you, so how many of your clients, or what percentage do you think end up filing for bankruptcy to deal with debt?
Actually, not a large amount. This is where we want people to drop the fear and shame. Bankruptcy is an option. It's not for everybody, but it is an option. And so some people will choose that. What we do is we just lay out the paths. And I have a few episodes about bankruptcy and Jay can address it more, but you know, we point out for the right candidate is it's usually your credit score has already been impacted, you know, to a thing. You really need some breathing room in your budget. You can't pay off all the debt and get ahead. And, you know, there's a few like checklist things that we talk to some people, you know, and that we know that they will not go back into debt too. Like, So we're not like you and I talked about that. I was like, how do you feel? You feel like you're ready for the change? Cause if you will, this will be very positive. If you're not, you're going to end up back in debt again. And then we're not breaking the cycle. So We also try to figure out who's ready, because we also don't want to counsel people into thinking about bankruptcy if it's not going to take, you know?
Yeah.
So there's that factor of it, but then, you know, there's other alternatives for other people as far as like debt settlement options and things like that. And we have trusted partners at the gym that we will refer our clients to. I don't trust every debt settlement company out there. and there are a lot of different ones, and I've done podcast episodes about that, but so that could be another option other than bankruptcy. And then some people just need to make more money, for all the numbers to work. And so that could be their path out, you know, maybe. And our plans will tell you how much money you need to make. And maybe they're like, you know what, I can do that. So there's different options for clients who are in a heavy debt load for different ways out. And that's what we talk through. We talk through all the options, and you and I talk through all the options, right? So I didn't just say bankruptcy. I said, here's an option. Here's how much you need to make for all of this. We could do debt settlement. But, you know, we talk through the scenarios, and there's different options. And the point is there's plenty of options. So people who feel trapped by their debt, that's not a place you need to stay in. And we can work through that. But we have clients all over that. You know, I say it's funny. What I love about having started this business is pre-starting it, I had to work with people, you know, 250 or more. And then I had my pro bono clients. But, you know, the 250 or more, they all kind of looked and felt the same. You know, it was like similar thing. And what I love about what we do now is we literally help everybody, right? So we've had clients start with us with negative $2,000 in the bank, which I didn't even think you could get that negative, but you can with overdraft fees and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We've had clients start with, like, you know, net worths greater than 8 million plus, you know, who are afraid of running out of money, by the way, which is, again, interesting. I always say the problems are the same, the zeros are different. So we've seen that. Then we've seen, you know, clients start with zero debt to like seven figures of debt. And then, you know, clients with incomes of zero because they're unemployed or looking for new options to clients with seven figures of income. And we've seen everything in between. Our youngest client is 17. His mom is paying for his membership because she's like, she's also a member. She's like, I didn't talk to my son about money. So if you can help him too. And then our oldest client is 76, 77 or something like that. And, you know, trying to figure out retirement planning and, you know, and doing that. So, you know, what I love about this is I said, it's just like any other gym where there's the right workout for everybody. So we have some clients here working off their debt. And then we've got some clients who are coming in with no debt, who want to know how to level up and buy investment properties and take their businesses to the next level. And so there's something for everybody. And that's what I love is that, you know, like you've referred friends, like you don't have to worry about what your friend's financial picture looks like, or how they're going to be treated, because we've seen it all, you know, versus when I was at Merrill, it's like, you'd have to, do my friends have 250,000, or you make an assumption that somebody has 250,000, but you don't know. And so here it's like, you don't even have to assume what your friends look like. It's like,
we just do it.
Yeah. Just do it.
Just go do it. Deal with it. Yeah. And I'm glad that you mentioned people who don't have debt, but just come to you for planning or for, because they're stressed out because it doesn't really matter if you have debt or not. Most people, I would say, have financial stress in some regard. I also have talked a lot on this podcast, at least in my first season, about how a lot of the problems around scarcity and greed, those things like coexist, and the inequality in our society is largely due, I mean, there's a lot of reasons, but there's a huge factor of a financial scarcity amongst the richest people who feel they have to hoard money. And I'm like, how many of you are operating from a traumatized place with money that $1 billion is not enough?
Right.
That need to go have more. It's just, it's because I've seen it with my family. I grew up, you know, on one side of my family, I grew up with a very wealthy white family that had gone through the Great Depression and hoarded a lot of gold during the Great Depression. And that carried down the line.
Yeah. It's like, we cling to this instead of the expansiveness of what it could be. And that's a lot of what we are kind of talking about working with clients. And, you know, we've seen, and we've coached clients, you know, I have clients who started with us. They started with a different trainer. They ended up with me because their trainer was part of the Great Resignation. And I don't really take that many clients, but I got them. They started with us with negative, their net worth was something like negative $40,000. And that's, I hate that in general, that somebody can have a net worth of negative, because that means you're literally worth less than zero. And again, yeah, that's its own psychology, right?
Yeah.
For people like, oh, my negative net worth. And so that's how they started. They have now, they have over, you know, six figures of their net worth has increased over, like six figures in three years. And they're a Black couple that lives in a lower income area. They're not making, you know, they're both doing fine, but not, you know, significant wealth. They just did all the steps. You know, they've been working with the trainer, like kind of tackling things one at a time. And now, and part of the reason why they want to work with me is they're kind of getting out of all the debt and the stuff that they've been kind of told and conditioned that that's what their situation was going to look like. And now we're talking about building generational wealth. And it's within 3 years we're doing that, you know,
like yeah,
they went from negative net worth to now we are, and they just had their third child, and we're talking about, you know, the right steps for them to build the generational wealth for their three kids. And they've changed that within 3 years. And we have so many stories like that here. It's like, we understand the challenges, and we see, I don't even want the whole other episode about how we see financial services companies treat different populations of people. You almost know just by seeing their information, but they can break those cycles, you know, and with that change in mindset and doing the hard work, because it is hard work too. That's the other thing I always, you know, tell people is that getting financially healthy is just like getting mentally healthy, physically healthy. They take work, you know, and it takes mental work and sometimes physical work, sometimes, you know, whatever kind of work you have to do. And that's a journey too, that sometimes challenging for people to think about. But we have seen, I've been doing this now for 10 years. We have a 90% success rate with our clients in 10 years. 90% of our clients are hitting their financial goals within a year. So some of them are going to hit them sooner. Some are going to take more time to make adjustments, because it's work. You know, they've got it. We got to work on the mindset and work on, and sometimes it's a few different steps we've got to take. But within a year, 90% of our clients achieve their goals. And then people ask, what about the 10%? There are 10% of our clients know they need some support on their journey, but they're not quite doing the work, but they're like, I'm going to do it. And I need the support, and they're not right there yet, but they're not going to quit. And so eventually they'll, you know, it'll start to come together. And then I've had clients where, you know, we've been doing the hard work, and sometimes it takes a full year and a half to 2 years to start really kind of seeing the compounding effects of the work. But we have a 6-month money back guarantee. And that's, you know, really important for us to have, because people are like, why should I pay money to save money? And my message is, so our, you know, let's just say our average client is $99 a month they're paying us. My messaging is like, if $99 a month is going to make or break you, you need to join our gym.
Because that's what
nobody should live a life. Nobody should live a life where they're not sure if they could add $99 a month to their lifestyle. And I mean that for everybody. And so you really need to get here. Let us help you sort some things out and give it some time to do the work and make the adjustments, because, and why we have the 6-month money back guarantee is because literally we have that level of, like, we know within 6 months, if you do the things, you got to show up, you know, you've got to attend your meetings. You've got to do at least two of the three things your trainer told you to do, or like, you know, we've got a few caveats, like you have to do work. Like, but if you do those things, we know you're going to be better off. Like, we guarantee it, because we've seen it. We know how to get the results. I mean, most people just don't even know how much they should be making, right? Mm. They've built this lifestyle, right? Based on the car they should have, the apartment they should have, their home they should have, whatever. And then they've built it all around, and now they've got this level of, you know, monthly expenses going on. And they don't really know how much they should be making based on the life they want to live and what they want to do. And that's what that's part of the plans we tell people is like, hey, if you want to achieve all this, here's how much it's, you know, here's how much you need to make. And then we're not going to just tell you that too. We're going to help coach you into the
right
career and like the best way to find that additional income or the best way to cut the expenses to make it all work. And we've had to have clients do, you know, what would seem like drastic things like file for bankruptcy or sell the house, you know, and sell the house that the kids are living in, you know, and which they think they need to have the house. I'm like, your kids just need you to be not anxious about money. Like that's what the kids truly need, the big house. Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah. I personally, I had to sell my home because I started this business and got divorced. And then, you know, I had a, did my own financial plan a few years back. And when I was running through the numbers and I was like, I just can't make it work. And I cried myself to sleep that night. The next day, told my ex-husband, we have to have a family meeting with Will, my son who's 16. And I said, told my son the next day, I was like, we're having a family meeting tonight with daddy. And he's like, is that why you were crying last night? And I was like, oh my God.
He was 16 at the time.
Oh no, he was, he was 12 at the time.
Okay.
And so I said, he's 16 now. Mm-hmm. I said, you heard that? And he's like, yeah, you're kind of a loud crier. And I was like, okay.
Damn. Yeah. Wow. Jeez.
Yeah. And so the meeting was to tell him we have to sell the house and, you know, and he, you know, again, he took it well. And like, he, you know, understood, we told him whatever. And since we did, he's like, I could just tell you were happier, you know, like, and your kids can tell, like they know when you're, they have this sixth sense of what's happening and they don't want to add more to it, but they don't know how to, and the kids don't even know. And we've had to coach, you know, families like, look, your kid doesn't care what house they're living in. Like they care about the school district. Like my son wanted to stay in the same school district. So I had to make it work there, but he didn't care about the house. You know, he just wanted me to be happy. He wanted me to not cry myself asleep at night, you know, over paying a mortgage.
Literally.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I was just watching, I just started watching The Watcher. And it, one of the interesting plot lines in the show is about the husband who they reference his bankruptcy, his chapter 13 that he filed 10 years prior. And then in order to get this like really big fancy house to impress the kids, it has a pool and it has all the things, he had to liquidate everything because he couldn't get a loan because of the chapter 13. So he had to liquidate his Roth. He had to liquidate like every single thing. And so they can't get out of this house. That's like, that's part of the problem. And I was just sitting there and I was like, this is everything. This is all the things.
Yeah.
You're trying to impress the kids, like, not learning your lesson, clearly making a huge financial risk that way. I looked at my friend who I was watching it with, and my friend is now a financial gym member, and she has learned a lot through me going through bankruptcy. Like, every time I go through something, she's like, okay, well, I guess I should probably address this thing in my life too. And I'm like, this is great. I love
this. Let's go along for the journey. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I just looked at her and I was like, okay, the day that, because my generation has this thing where we tell ourselves all the time, we're never going to be able to buy a house. And I've started to realize how limiting that story is, even if it feels really true.
Yeah.
And I'd love to talk about that in a second. But I told her, I was like, the day that you have enough to buy a house is not the day that you get the house.
Yeah.
Because that's everything then. Yeah. So we made a little pact last night. Like we're not doing this. Yeah. So can we talk about buying a house? Because this is like, this is the number one thing I hear. I'm never going to be able to buy a house. I'm going to be lucky if I can even think about buying a house.
Right. So that is limiting and it's wrong. You could definitely buy a house. My caveat is, should you buy the house?
Okay. Right. So I don't want to now, the more I've learned about
it. I know. Right. I'm like, do you even want the house? Yeah, I know. I'm like, that's what we're talking about. Like with this dream, right? Whose dream is the house, right? It's somebody else's dream. I think property ownership is totally doable for everybody. And we coach our clients and there's different ways you can get, there's different programs through the FHA and through NACA where you could have 0% down and better financing terms, especially if you're first time buyers. Like there's so many different ways to make property ownership achievable. So 100% you can own property. With our clients, it's like, do you want to own the house? Because there's a whole host of other challenges that come with home ownership that maybe is not conducive. I mean, you know, we talk with our clients all the time. The number one goal of financial gym clients, and I think it's most of Americans, is travel. You know, our clients, it's been disrupted by pandemic, but it still remains. Our clients love to travel. Health and wellness is number two for babies is very high up there as far as goals. Human babies, not so much though, especially like in your generation. Yep. They're like, I don't know about the kid. Definitely want the fur baby though.
Yeah. So need my cats.
Yeah. So things like that. Then we're like, do we need, what do we really need the home for? And yes, you can. And there's this antiquated storyline about building wealth through real estate and specifically owning your home. And that's not always the best way to build wealth. Like you can build wealth and still rent. Mm-hmm. FYI, and you could build wealth outside of a home. A home could be, or home/property could be a wealth building tool, but it's not necessarily that because there's also a lot of expenses that go along with it. So yeah, there's totally different ways. The biggest thing for us with our clients though, and the work we do is just aligning them to what their goals are. That's key for us because, mm-hmm. or what's important to them. We ask all of our clients at the end of their first session, what's important to you? Like if money wasn't an object, what would you really want to accomplish in life? And like I said, most people will say to us, travel, you know, for a baby, health and wellness. But meanwhile, where most people spend their money is Amazon, Seamless, Grubhub, you know, food delivery going out. And we're headquartered in New York. So Duane Reade is very big, but I would put some kind of CVS, Duane Reade, drugstore, mm-hmm. Ulta Beauty, Sephora, you know, I kind of put some of that in there. Those are the top spending areas. And when we track spending of our clients, we're not tracking it with this goal of like shame or judgment. We don't really care. I always say, I don't care how you're spending your money. We just care that it's aligned with your values. Right. Mm-hmm. So most of us are, I always say especially the last few years, we work so hard for every dollar that we make. I mean, just getting out of bed these days is a struggle, right? So mm-hmm. we work really hard for every dollar that we make. We need to make it really hard to spend our dollars. But the problem we have is it's so easy to spend our dollars because we have our phones and we're on social media and we could just, you know, it's feeding us the things we love. And, you know, I just recently got an ad from L.L. Bean with this, it's like this fuzzy faux throat thing or Sherpa throw is what it was. I was like, oh, that looks cozy. And I think I want that. And P.S. I did get it. Like my boyfriend got it for me as a gift because I was like, hey, I really want the Sherpa throw, but I don't want to spend the money for it. But the point is like, we have that getting the things that we love are coming to us on our phones or that we think we love and we're valuing. And it's so easy to spend our money. And so we just try to create a pause or we try to create a, you know, a point of reflection or thought around the way we're spending our money and, you know, and being more mindful of it. So I have a longtime client who, when we first started, she was spending everything, you know, didn't really know about it, was, you know, scared about her judgment. So our first quarterly review, she realized she's spending a lot on shopping, like specifically like TJ Maxx and Target. And she said, she's like, I get depressed because I'm in my 50s. I still live at home with my sister. I get depressed. I go to Starbucks, I get a coffee, and then I go shopping. And I was like, okay, I get it. I was like, so I'm not going to take away what is truly retail therapy for you.
Right.
And we see that. And I'm like, I get that you need that. I was like, can we just create some boundaries around it? Like maybe you only have X amount to spend. Like you give yourself a cash allowance when you go into Target or whatever. And she's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to set a rule for myself that I have to try on clothes before I buy them because I end up buying things at TJ Maxx or whatever. I don't try them on and then I come home and I don't love it, but I don't return it. So, you know, it just sits in my closet. So she's like, I'm going to try things on. I was like, great. So we put these things out, meet her next quarter and she bought a lot of shoes. So, cause she tried them on. Right. And
right.
She was always fit. So I was like, okay, we're moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
And, the intention was there. Yeah. And I was like, so what next? And her two biggest things were concerts, live concerts and travel she wanted to do. So that's where, every time she was seeing something that wasn't aligned with that, she's like, okay, what next? Okay. Mm-hmm. So then the next quarter we meet and she did phenomenal. And I was like, oh my God, you like it. All right. We're here. And she's like, really? Like I felt like I had fun. And I was like, first of all, financial health journey can be very fun. Like it's not like, you know,
I'm insulted.
Like, it's limiting. Of course it's fun, but she ended up traveling to see friends and she ended up going to see Tom Petty before he died. And so she like did the thing she wanted and spent less on the other things. And she was like, Oh, I get it. And now when she goes to TJ Maxx, she the other tip that she's given me to share with people, she's like, I look at the full price of the tech. Cause like a lot of times I'm like, you look at the $9.99 for a shirt, but I look at the $69.99 and would I pay $69.99 for that? And if I wouldn't pay $69.99 for that, $99 for that, then I don't pay $9.99. And I was like, okay. Like, and the point
that's
is
that's interesting.
Yeah, we've had clients do different mental mind games like that. But
yeah,
you know, the thing I always say is like getting financially healthy requires saying no at some point, but it's not no totally. I always say that you're saying no to one thing so you can say yes to the things that truly exactly. bring you value. That's all you're doing is shifting that energy.
Exactly. Yeah. I remember sitting down over before I met with you, I sat down over Christmas of last year and I spent 3 days manually inputting every single transaction I made for the entire year on every single credit card, every single checking account, everything. Cause I had credit cards galore at that point.
Yeah.
And I just needed to know. And I downloaded Mint and like some of the other apps that like say they'll do it for you. I didn't trust that those numbers were right. I don't know why. I just was like, I don't know. I need to just do it. Sit down in a Google sheet and do it. And I think I spent like $7,000 last year on Postmates.
Yeah.
In addition to my grocery bill, because I buy groceries every week because I cook all the time.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's depression, first of all, that I had to order that much. I was like, she was depressed. was not getting off of the couch a lot.
Yeah.
Second thing I spent a whole bunch of money on was Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of the things I bought on Amazon. I didn't need a lot of them. Like some of them I'm really happy with. And a lot of them, I was like, what did I even do with that stuff? It's now sitting in a storage unit because I moved home. So it's interesting. It's eye-opening.
Yeah. We like clients to kind of go through the Marie Kondo experience of paying for things is like, is this going to bring you joy? Like when you're about to check out from Amazon or you're in a store and you have your things, just take a pause and ask yourself, is this going to bring me joy? Because, and truly like, and again, value it. Cause if it is, then get it right. So we have clients who are like, well, I'm not going to make my coffee at home. I love Starbucks. Great. I'm not telling you to not, but I'm saying if you're going to pay $7 for coffee, then, you know, what are we not going to take? Because we all, except for 1% of the population, we all have to make choices around our money. We can't have all the things we want to have all the things we can't. So we give music playlists to all of our clients when they get their plans. And the number one song every person has is You Can't Always Get What You Want by the Rolling Stones, because you can't always get what you want, but you get what you need. And so what do you really need to survive and thrive and do the things? And when you start taking out the things you don't need, or really start aligning with your values and what you really want and need, and make sure you're aligned and connected with them. So we have clients who'll come to us and say, oh, I want to pay off student loan debt or retire or whatever. Well, that's what everybody tells you should want to do. So that doesn't, that's probably not going to lie. Just like I had all the career and the job and it wasn't what I wanted. What do you really want? And when we have clients go through that exercise or meditate on it or think about it or dream about it, you know, that's when they start getting real, where they're like, you know, clients like, I really want a tattoo fund. Like tattoos are expensive, especially if they have colors. So we're like, great, let's set up a tattoo fund. Great. Have a tattoo before house. That's you know, going to get you focused on your finances. Perfect. Or I really want to quit my job and travel the world for 6 months. Great. Let's put the numbers together. Let's start putting it in place. Like, think about what really like sets your soul on fire. And that's what we'll start getting. And then what happens is once our clients really align with that and then they start working towards that, then it all starts coming to them.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I definitely think that's true. And it just, it feels better. I recently bought myself a pair of shoes for my birthday like 2 weeks ago. And I found a dupe on Amazon. They're Steve Madden shoes. They're platforms. They're beautiful. I found a dupe on Amazon, got them. They didn't feel right. They didn't look right. So I spent the $60 more to get the real pair. And I was so happy. I'm still so happy. It's like being really intentional with your choices of, and the way that you're spending your money is actually just increases your contentment and satisfaction with the stuff that you're buying as opposed to feeling limiting.
Well, yeah. And I want to go back to the point you're making about depression. So the other thing is we're certainly have a lot of mental health challenges going on right now. And what we tell our clients is, first of all, don't shame yourself for anything that's happening when you're with your finances, when you're in an unhealthy mental state. And that's the biggest thing, you know, message that if I'm remembered for nothing else in my life, it's that to, for people to hear, everything you do financially is fixable. Mm-hmm. Everything is fixable. So if you're in a state and you can't, you know, get the finances, don't worry about the finances, worry about your mental, worry about your physical health. Like you, we will address the finances when we can, we'll fix it. It's all fixing. It's just how much fixing do we have to do? Mm-hmm. And so don't really shame yourself for doing that. But when you feel like you can make healthy choices, healthy financial choices, like cooking dinner, like not buying the extra shoes, like do that, you know, and we have different exercises for our clients. The number one thing we like to give clients to is no spend days. So just like you'd have regular exercises, like you go to the gym or do arms day or legs day. It's like, put in your calendar, like 3 no spend days this week and put it mm-hmm. out there and be like, Tuesday's gonna be that. And so you're going to make your own meals. You're going to do what, you know, you're not going to buy anything and just budget those things in your time. And then when that way, when you have a rough day and you just want to buy food, it's like you have the room for it because
yeah,
you added some level of financial control to some degree and, you know, control it when you can. And then when you can't, it's not going to have as much of an impact because, you know, you have these other healthier days, you know, out there. And also, you know, don't shame yourself if you fall off the wagon, because you get back on. You know, we have clients who have a rough course. Summers are always horrible for people's mm-hmm. budgets because they're going to weddings and they're roseing all day and they're, you know, traveling. So September, like clients are like, I don't know. Maybe we should push back our meeting. And we're always like, just come here, just schedule your quarterly yeah. review. Let's just deal with it and, you know, move on.
Yeah.
And just fix it and go on.
Exactly. And, you know, a thing that I want to say to people too, is like, if you're struggling with money and you're struggling with depression, the struggling with money piece is going to make the depression worse. So talking mm-hmm. to someone about it is like really, 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 really helpful.
Yeah.
It, even just talking to you about it took so much pressure off of me because I was like, oh, I'm not alone in this mm-hmm. anymore. I don't have to figure this out all by myself because I physically do not feel like I have the capacity to figure this out.
Yeah.
And it's not for lack of like money skills or math skills. It's just because this is so much, it just feels mm-hmm. like so much. And so when you have someone else doing it with you, it's like, okay, it's more manageable and you're able to sort of get out of your own head about it, which I think is mm-hmm. essential.
Yeah. And you have a plan and, you know, you're working the plan and it'll take time. There's some things will or won't or whatever, but it's like, you know, again, we just don't want people sitting out there struggling on their own. Like there's a way out. And I get asked a lot, what's the worst client you've ever seen? Or a lot of our clients will be like, am I the worst you've ever seen? And my response is always that we have yet to see the quote worst. And I don't believe there's a worst because that's the person who's not willing to do the work. Right. And
yeah.
as long as you're here and you're committed to trying to work this through, then we'll figure it out and we'll solve the problem. But the worst is I haven't seen it yet because they're not doing anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're out there, but I haven't seen them. I mean, our clients who come to us, super brave. It's a brave experience to go through and we know it. And we just want to help alleviate the suffering they're having because it's unnecessary. I mean, we hear it and I understand it and we understand it, but it's like, let us help kind of take the load off.
Yeah. Please. In addition to 3 no spend days a week or something like that, what's another exercise or piece of advice or something that you can give people that is like a take-home thing they can do?
The biggest exercise I can have is around that alignment of values. So I tell people, take some time, some quiet time, 15, 20 minutes, whatever kind of meditation app or thing, or, you know, whatever you can do to focus, and sit there and spend some time and think about visualizing, you know, what a life that feels exciting to you to get out of bed and live, like, what does that look like? And really kind of see it, create a vision board, write some words around it, like really align with that and what your soul's kind of telling you is important to you. And then start working with that
yeah.
because the money stuff will come together and we can do all that. And that's numbers and stuff, but like really focusing on what you want out of life. And then we can align the money with that. But there's just so many people who are like, I'm not sure. I'm worried about my money because I'm living day paycheck to paycheck or day to day. And I'm like, take the money out of the picture. Okay. Take the thing that's creating all this stress and anxiety, take it out. And if we take that out, what does life look like for you? Mm. What do you want it to look like? And then we put the plan together to how to get there. But
yeah.
And it is addressing the money will be part of it. But the other thing too, I'd say is when you're thinking about your money, just like any kind of like stress or anxiety situation, just do some exercises. Like if you're about to look at your bank account or your credit score or whatever, like shake it out, open and close your hands, deep breaths, like do this kind of exercises, any kind of exercise you've ever seen, or you could Google about anti-anxiety exercises to do. Apply that to your money mm-hmm. right before you're about to, I mean, for me, it's drinking a glass of wine and looking at the money, but whatever you need, and then do that, then go into your money and your bank accounts, and also go in without judgment. Yeah. Like, so you said you went through that whole exercise, like just go through and look, and don't be like, oh, I overspent here or overdid there. You did. There's no adding qualifiers. Just look at it and look at it without judgment, kind of start taking away some of that energy.
Yeah. I would recommend, and this is just my personality too, that if you're aggressively honest with everyone in your life, they start to expect that you'll be aggressively honest. And then it just is funny. I recommend giggling with your friends about the way that you've spent your money, because guaranteed they have something similar that's happening. So as soon as I realized I spent $7,000 on Postmates in a year, I went to my friends and I was like, lol, this is actually hilarious.
That's what I did.
And they were like, damn. And I was like, I know. So it just kind of takes the weight off of it a little bit. Yeah, if you can laugh.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But
I think that's a great idea. I think too many people, you know, only think they see their money and then they try to put their life into it. And it's like, no, figure out the life separate. Remove all those limiting beliefs about what's possible and what's not possible. Exactly. Look at what the life you want and then figure out the money piece. Mm-hmm. And make it work with what you want, because what you want matters above all else. Exactly. And if you're going to sacrifice what you want, you're not going
to
be
happy. You're not going to be motivated. And you're also not going to be motivated toward the goal. Yeah. Like we've had clients who are like, oh, it's payoff student loan debt. Well, that's not going to get me out of bed, like, and excited to do something. So paying off student loan debt. Like that's not going to get, but if it's traveling the world and I need $80,000 to travel the world. Okay. How are we getting to 80? Cause like, I want to travel the world and I'm going to do a vision board with all the destinations I want to have, or a Pinterest board, whatever. And, and then you start, the energy just starts shifting. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I got this opportunity. I got that. I'm like, yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Of course you did. I knew that was.
Yeah. I love it. Well, thank you, Shannon. Appreciate you coming to talk to us. And if you want to learn more, I'll include all the links for Shannon in the show notes, including my referral code for the financial gym. Go get some money off. And I appreciate you coming by.
Thank you.